Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a Friday. It's hour number 2 live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, all across the Spiz Grizz Network. Just a couple of guys in suit jackets getting you set for a huge weekend around the world of sports. A monumental college basketball Saturday awaits, certainly in the Big East. We are just over 4 weeks away from Selection Sunday. Just saying that makes me giddy. It is All-Star Weekend in the NBA. It is the very early portion of the NFL offseason as well. For a brief segment, and a brief segment only, it's a Football Friday, live right here on the Early Line.
Oh, still able to talk football gear. A lot of big doings in the offseason, no doubt about it. But it's still nice, though. It doesn't feel like now, Ben, like Super Bowl 58 was last Sunday. We were in Las Vegas as a crew here throughout that entire week doing great work out there. But it already feels like football season was like months away. Like, it was like when was the last time we actually did a football game? Oh, it was Sunday? Like, that 4 or 5 days feels like eons ago at this point. It's time to look forward to the great things that we have coming up in the sports landscape.
Yeah, absolutely so. Listen, there is a focus on basketball right now. College hoops, the NBA, before we add in baseball to the mix and spring training and the previews of a new year in MLB. But the NFL always remains king. The offseason for the National Football League is a story. It is 365 each and every day. We're going to start to talk draft in just a little bit. Free agency on the horizon in the NFL. And free agency has become quite a big to-do in the National Football League. Let's make sure we bring in that Sports Grid radio audience here. Hour number 2 of a Friday on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. So the Seattle Seahawks yesterday confirming that they will pick up the fully guaranteed $12.7 million owed to Geno Smith entering 2024. That becomes fully guaranteed today. So Geno Smith is staying on the roster after signing the big contract extension last offseason. But it's a full regime change, of course, in Seattle. Mike McDonald, the new head coach, new offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, who is going to Tuscaloosa to join Kalen DeBoer and then is now staying in the Pacific Northwest at the NFL level, the former Washington Huskies offensive coordinator the past few years. What will they do at the quarterback spot? Who is going to start 2024, a different story, but Geno Smith is going to be rostered, it would seem, entering next year as the Seahawks make that fully guaranteed $12.7 million salary a thing today.
Yeah, by the way, Geno Smith, not a great quarterback, but not a bad quarterback. Well, right around mid-level, you can get quality quarterback play out of Geno Smith here, and that's a pretty cheap number. Because how many times in the past do we see a quarterback saying, hey, he's going to have $50 million guaranteed if he makes the roster? $13 million is cheap, and that's what you're getting. Look, he's a decent quarterback. You might win football games with him. It's not a bad option. That's what I'll say.
Listen, I love the caveat to start. Geno Smith, not a great quarterback, not a bad quarterback, a decent option at the QB spot. Geno Smith, of course, I believe was the comeback player of the year 2 years ago, coming back from not being very good around the NFL. This year was not nearly as illustrious for Geno Smith and the Seahawks, but still, Seattle was in the postseason picture for most of the year leading into the final few weeks of this regular season. They are hoping for more, a regime change after Pete Carroll, who spent the previous 14 seasons as the head coach in the Pacific Northwest, no longer the head man. So as we look around the National Football League, continuing this offseason picture, the Bears making a couple of moves yesterday, releasing veteran safety Eddie Jackson, Action Jackson, and offensive lineman Cody Whitehair, who had a combined salary cap numbers of roughly $32 million. And that's interesting, Donnie, because the Bears already entered this offseason with more than $100 million in cap space, by far the most of any of the 32 NFL clubs around the league. Now they're going to free up more than $30 million. The offseason is owned by Chicago here in 2024. We will see what they do with it.
Yeah, and by the way, you're going to take a look at some options for the Bears when they sound like wholly overpaid, because the interesting part about the NFL, Ben, is you do have a floor, so you have to pay people. And if you want guys to come in and say, well, nobody wanted our money, you have to overpay guys to get them to come to Chicago because you have so much cap room. That's going to take place. But those were interesting options because you lose a guy on the offensive line who's a very good safety there, but obviously they have their eyes on the prize, rebuilding this franchise in the right mode, and that's going to start with that top overall pick. If they do select a quarterback, if they do trade out of it. But you're right, Ben. They have a ton of money to spend now, and now even more into the offseason.
A ton of money, which is a good thing, but now the pressure is there for second-year GM Ryan Poles to make the correct decisions to set up the future for this Chicago Bears organization. The number one overall pick that, again, Caleb Williams is a minus 1,500 favorite to go first overall. Always add in the caveat that Caleb Williams, if he is selected first overall to win that bet, doesn't necessarily need to be the Bears making the pick, but we expect that to be the case. It's an interesting offseason, as we discussed at length, for Chicago. They keep Matt Eberflus in a year number three. Entering year number four, Justin Fields is probably not going to be the quarterback of the Bears moving forward. It seems as though they will retain that first overall pick, get Caleb Williams, and then the Bears draft once again in the top 10 at ninth overall at this point. New market available for the 2024 NFL draft. The odds to go number three overall, where the Heisman winner in 2023, Jaden Daniels, is the favorite at plus 160, followed by Drake May, plus 190, Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver out of Ohio State, plus 270, J.J. McCarthy, fourth best number at plus 850. The New England Patriots hold that number three overall pick. And new head coach Gerard Mayo, in so many words when he was introduced to the Patriots media up there in Foxborough, said we are going to draft the most important position in football at third overall. Didn't say a QB, of course, did not say which prospect they liked the most, but they're going to draft a quarterback third overall.
Yeah, exactly. You would love to have Marvin Harrison Jr., but the problem with drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. here for the New England Patriots is what? You got to have somebody to throw him the football, and they're not running it back with Mac Jones. All of that stuff being put out probably from the New England side where Mac Jones lost the locker room, was a toxic quarterback room. You know they're moving on here. It will be a quarterback. We're just going to find out which quarterback it's going to be. Daniels would be such an intriguing opinion in New England here to get that superstar at quarterback that can absolutely torch a defense with his arm, but also his legs.
Right now, quarterbacks are favored to go 1, 2, 3. Williams minus 1,500 at first overall. Drake May minus 160 at second overall. The Washington Commanders hold that pick. Jaden Daniels plus 160. There is going to be so much market movement. Donnie highlighted this yesterday. Jaden Daniels is going to get a ton of love in the draft process for what he can do athletically,
yes, he will.
And rightfully so. I do think the odds makers have the order correct right now. Now, Caleb Williams 1, Drake May 2, Jaden Daniels 3. We will wait and see exactly how that looks. More TEL coming your way after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday on the Early Line, a reunion of sorts between three best pals, myself, Ben Stevens, Donnie Wrightside, and of course our sports professor, Rick Horro. About 8 days ago, I believe it was, Donnie and I, after a long day of work, were leaving the Mandalay Bay Convention Center around 4 p.m. local time in Las Vegas. We got there at 4 a.m. local time, and making his way into the convention center for the very first time, it was our sports professor, Rick Horro. His day starts when ours ends because he's there making deals, shaking hands, and kissing babies. What up, Rick Horro? Great to have you here on this Friday.
It starts earlier. It just starts in different places than you. I aspire to be where you're not. How's that?
Oh, sounds good, actually. That's pretty good roast. All right, Rick, let's go back to the end of football season just 5 days ago. As Donnie and I said, it feels like a long time ago. We actually saw a football game, but it was Sunday in Las Vegas. Super Bowl 58 between the Chiefs and the 49ers. A dramatic conclusion in overtime. KC wins its second consecutive Super Bowl, third Lombardi Trophy in the last 5 years. What does it mean for the National Football League to have a dynasty emerging in Kansas City?
Well, it means so much more than just a dynasty, but a particular dynasty. The dynasty owned by the chairman of the finance committee, Clark Hunt and the Hunt family. So there is solid financial footing in a regional franchise that is the largest as far as a sweep regional franchise in America. So this is Middle America's franchise. It's a franchise, according to Forbes, it's worth about $4.3 billion, but nobody cares because the Hunts aren't going to sell. So what difference does it make what the value is? But when you look at the Patriots numbers, they were worth a lot of money when they were still in Gillette or in Schaefer. Then they win 6 titles. Now they're number 2 at $7 billion, second only to that team whose memo about winning playoff games Jerry Jones forgot to read. But at the end of the day, the value continues to go up. The side benefits of it, the Kansas City Swifties, you now have clearly 10% more fans who are watching because of the NFL and the female effect than they ever thought before. That's clearly an added bonus. Let me say one more thing, which I know is serious, but the tragedy that happened during the parade, unparalleled, unbelievable, really terrible. Hearts and minds, that's not enough. You know, hearts and prayers going out and thoughts and prayers and all of that. That's nowhere near enough. But if the sports and entertainment intersection, and people said sports has been immune, maybe it's now not immune, and maybe there is further action that comes because of that. Maybe there's a positive unintended consequence of all this that we don't even think about now, but we do in a few years.
Yeah, and even to counter that point, we always talk about the elevated levels of security getting into football games. Now you have to start to thinking outside the box when you have these massive gatherings on these championship celebrations that maybe we even have to have increased surveillance as well there. But let's get back to the game itself, Rick. 123 million people watched that football game. That's question number one in the future of the NFL, if it can continue to rise. But number two, how did Las Vegas do overall from an NFL's perspective on the Super Bowl?
On the number one piece, you have now the bundling of about 58% of all of the sports into one super package that the NFL didn't know about. Rest assured, they're going to take advantage of the fact that they didn't know, but now they're going to do some things that people didn't think about. So not only that 100 and some 30 million and the bundle, but now everybody internationally talking about stuff because Brazil, Germany, Kansas City's kind of relationship to Germany, all of that's very important. So it is huge beyond Swift and beyond my answer to the first question. The second piece about Vegas, it is a mega event town, and it even outdid itself. The security was tremendous. The kind of game day experience, many people put themselves at Mandalay Bay starting early, walked over above I-15, checked into the compound, went to the various events at the compound. It could have been a cluster. It might have been anyway, because I watched the overtime in a cab on the way to the airport. I didn't want to get caught in that cluster, took the red eye back. But most people who flew back after the game said the experience was easy. So now what does it mean? It means Super Bowl there every 4 years, certainly every 5, maybe every 4. And it takes away from the ones that would have gone to Phoenix, would have gone to Miami, would have gone to SoFi, Atlanta. I'm not saying they're not going to get them. They're not going to get them as frequently because Vegas hit a home run, touchdown, whatever the metaphor is.
That was very, very good. Well said there, Rick. A touchdown probably for football. 123.4 million viewers. Most watched telecast ever, as Rick just said. He was one of those 123.4. Rumor has it, Rick Horro spent his Super Bowl Sunday morning on the craps tables inside the Excalibur. So, Rick, from one huge weekend out in Las Vegas. Yeah, go ahead. You want to say something? Go ahead.
No, very quickly. I'm brighter than that. You know, some people would say under the craps tables as opposed to on them. No, I'm brighter than that. I'll just leave it alone.
So from one big weekend in Las Vegas to another, this weekend in Indianapolis, it is NBA All-Star Weekend. Rick, settle a debate for us. Donnie made a motion, or made a noise, I should say, when I said these words to start off the breakdown of All-Star Weekend in Indy, that Indianapolis, maybe outside of Las Vegas now, is the best sports hosting city in the United States of America. Where do you think Indy lands, and what can we expect for All-Star Weekend?
Not a bad motion slash argument, but I think it ought to be 1A. And let's throw New Orleans in there. I would say New Orleans, Vegas, and Indy, a little bit of an asterisk because they're just not as large as far as capacity. So I would say New Orleans and Vegas one because of all of the things, mobility, hotels right near it, the stadium next to it, and Indianapolis right below that as a maybe every 8 years as opposed to every 4 years. But by the way, they get the Final Fours, certainly more compressed than that. They're guaranteed a number because of their deal with Lucas Oil. And the 2012 Super Bowl, way above expectations. They are an under-promising and over-delivering city. And so, shameless plug, Ray Martinez, the head of FIFA's Miami host committee and director of security host committee for Super Bowls, former policeman, is on the record this week talking about security and mega events. So that's important. And also Pete Ward, the owner, Jimmy Irsay's representative of the Indianapolis Colts, talking about stuff. Yeah. So I'm using this to promote on the record, but it's fine. You don't care, do you? You care? No, it's good.
I didn't realize how that tied to Indianapolis. Maybe Donnie knew, but yeah, I don't know.
Now you do. You just got to listen.
How about this tie into Indianapolis? Maybe the worst city to host anything here. It's dreary. It never sunny. It's always cold in the winter. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And actually, I heard from this, Rick. Let me get your question about this. You can have an all-star game in Miami where everybody comes out to party and hang out in warm weather. I heard some of the NBA players, correct me if this is wrong, they didn't even want to go to Indianapolis because how bad a city it is and a host city. How do you counter that?
I would counter it by saying it's, you know, one weekend, suck it up. These guys are getting a lot of money. And again, it's the under-promising and over-delivering. During the Super Bowl, they had zip lines because they feared they would make fun of the snow. It didn't snow a lot in Indianapolis, just like it didn't in New York for that cold weather Super Bowl. But everybody's prepared for different cities and different contexts. You don't go to Indianapolis in a thong ready to get a suntan. You just don't do that.
Some do.
Those are thong and Rick Hora words I hope are never associated again in my life. Rick, two things you can discuss on your way out. Only about 50 seconds here, so I'll make this brief. Tiger Woods, 1 over par in his opening round at Riviera, first PGA Tour event since the 2023 Masters, or the fact that EA Sports College Football 25 will be released this summer and what it means. Rick, go ahead.
Wow. I used to have 54 seconds. Now I have about 4. Thanks a lot for that. I'll do both of them. The Tiger Woods is not as important as whether he wins or even makes the cut. He's talking about the invitation to have LIV Golfers and the Saudi Investment Fund come into the table and come to the deal. That's great. And EA Sports, I can't wait for it, nor can I wait for you coming back right after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Friday? Absolutely not. Basketball Friday? Absolutely yes. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Ben Stevens here. Talked a lot of NBA action. Even had Rick Haro chime in with some interesting thought processes. So certainly one of those segments for the future we can go back, review, and have some fun with. But it's time to start to move forward, Ben. You take a look. It's February 16th. What is our favorite month of the year? It's called March. Why?
March.
Because there's March Madness. So let's check in and have some fun where things stand here from Ben Stevens' perspective. And we're going to go right to it. if we're looking at teams to do damage in March Madness, Ben, you know what you need to do? Have a high seed to get the easiest pathway to maybe getting to a Final Four. If we're taking a look at the odds to be the number one seeds in the NCAA tournament, Purdue, a minus 9,000. UConn, a minus 6,000. Houston, a minus 500. And Marquette at a plus 1,500. If we're taking a look at March Madness in the eyes of Ben Stevens right now, those top four teams, give me some action here.
Yeah. So I'm going to look at the expected number one seeds as I see it playing out over these final 4 weeks. Right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, four teams are favored at a minus 280 price or better to be on the one line come 4 weeks from now on Selection Sunday, led by Purdue, who I agree with, at minus 9,000, and UConn at minus 6,000. In my estimation, Donnie, there is not a chance that Purdue nor UConn will not be on that number one line. I expect both the Boilermakers and the defending champs, the Huskies, to be one seeds in the NCAA tournament here in 2024. I also expect Houston to be there as well at minus 500. Now, let me just say this, small caveat. As of this moment, I would place Arizona as the fourth team on that one line, and the Cats are favored at a minus 280 price. But I believe what is awaiting for both Arizona and Marquette actually favors the Golden Eagles to potentially give the Big East Conference 2-1 seeds in the NCAA tournament. So Arizona right now, but as we expect in just over 4 weeks, I'm going to give the nod to Marquette. And here is why. Three more quad one opportunities in the regular season await Shaka Smart's Golden Eagles, including a trip tomorrow in Hartford against the number one team in the country, UConn. To win on the road is a difficult thing. Connecticut will probably be around a 6.5, 7.5 point favorite come tomorrow afternoon in a Big East battle. But Marquette also gets UConn at home in Milwaukee before the regular season is through and has a road opportunity against Creighton. As of this moment for Arizona, no quad one opportunities remain on the resume. Things can change. Washington State, for instance, in the Pac-12, playing really, really good basketball at this moment. But that's why I give the nod, Donnie, to Marquette. And I think there is some value at that 15-1 number right now for the Golden Eagles, knowing quad one opportunities are on the horizon. The Big East as a conference is a much stronger league. So you have the regular season opportunities and even the Big East tournament opportunities inside Madison Square Garden, where I give Marquette, playing out of the Big East, the slight nod instead of Arizona playing in a weaker Pac-12.
Yeah, it's a good point you bring up, too, because it's great to have this conversation on a Friday before Marquette and UConn tangle tomorrow on a Saturday, and then also, as we know, the conference tournaments at the end of the season. Now, you did bring up Arizona. It'd be interesting if you think that they can possibly get to the Final Four, because if they do, not really home court advantage per se, but that Final Four, Glendale, Arizona. So something to keep an eye on if those Arizona faithful will show up in waves out there if they do make it to the Final Four. So let's talk some Final Four action. Now, again, we're midway through February. A lot has to be worked out here. But if I ask you, Ben Stevens, who's in your Final Four right now?
A lot has to be worked out. It's a huge point. I can say whatever I like right now. I could have told you my preseason picks or middle of December, at the start of conference play, whatever it was. A lot is going to be determined by the path. And that's the one thing I like to remind people of, Donnie. The NCAA tournament is exactly that. A tournament. Yes, it is March Madness. Yes, it is the big dance. Yes, it is chaotic. But it's playing your best for six games over a three-week span. It is a tournament that is not exactly representative of what we see throughout a long regular season of 30 plus games in men's college basketball. But as of this moment, here is my Final Four. I have wagers on three of the four teams, potentially the fourth and final with the Tar Heels. I have a Purdue and Auburn ticket to win a national championship, and I have Houston to reach the Final Four. The Cougs have the pedigree under Kelvin Sampson. Right now, Auburn, in terms of the KenPom metrics, has the least amount of separation in terms of offensive efficiency and the defensive efficiency numbers. We'll get into this when the bracket is released on Selection Sunday, and we forecast March Madness, but there are very strong trends that as you look at the KenPom numbers, a national champion in the last decade, 15 years, has ranked in the top 11 of both offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency entering the big dance. Right now, Auburn enters this weekend where they will host Kentucky tomorrow over, by the way, and whatever that predicted total is going to be, where Auburn is the ninth best offense in the nation, fourth best defense in the nation, and they play at a great pace at home in the jungle on the plains. So Auburn plus 340, and then Purdue, Donnie, a team that has failed to reach a Final Four in more than four decades since the 1980 NCAA tournament. And you can say whatever nice things you like about the Boilermakers, and all of them are deserved this year for what Purdue has done. They are one of five teams that has won at least 23 games this year. They are one of three teams in the country that has five or more ranked wins. Purdue is the only team in the country that has 15 combined quad one wins and quad two wins as well. The Boilermakers season will be defined by March in what they do in the NCAA tournament after last year's dismal effort being upset by FDU as a one seed. But give me the Boilers this year to rewrite history. And then North Carolina, a team that I think is really, really well suited to make a deep run in March. Also coming off the disappointment of being the first ever preseason AP number one team in the country to miss out on the big dance. UNC has it all. RJ Davis, he's an All-American guard. He's probably going to win the ACC Player of the Year. Elliot Cadeau, the young freshman point guard, orchestrating Hubert Davis's offense. And of course, big guys down low led by Armando Bacot. I think this team has the makings of being a team to make a deep run in March. Give me the Tar Heels at a plus 450 price as my fourth and final team in the Final Four.
It'll be interesting with Purdue, right? Probably looking at a back-to-back Wooden Award winner in Zach Edey. We got to get him through that first weekend to make a run there. It's only deserving, and we'll see if Purdue has what it takes to get to Arizona and Glendale to see if they can pursue a national championship. But sort of that market that we always love, outside of the top guys that you think can get in, because those where you can make some real money and have some fun, the long shots heading into March Madness. Give me a couple teams that you're looking for at deep prices here that might be able to do some damage and come away with some profitability here.
So we'll go two power conference teams, two mid-major teams I think you should keep an eye on to maybe make some runs if you bet them now and then cash out. I don't think they're going to win national championships by any means. So let's start power conference, high major level. The Big East is defined by its two teams at the top, UConn and Marquette. And just behind that, I'd give a nod to the Creighton Blue Jays, just a couple of points away last year in the Elite Eight from making the program's first ever Final Four, 45-1 for Creighton. Again, all of the makings of a team that can make a deep run in the tournament. And then how about the number four team in the preseason that is starting to look like the number four team in the preseason, the Michigan State Spartans, 9-7 DRS on January 11th, just 1-4 in Big Ten play, the worst start in the nearly three decades in East Lansing under Tom Izzo in the Spartans' first five conference games. They have rallied since then. They have won seven of their last nine games, and they have covered in six of those seven wins. So I like Michigan State 50-1, Creighton 45-1 to maybe find some profitability in the NCAA tournament. Now we go mid-major level. Robbie Avila. He is going to be a guy that everybody knows. You've probably seen him already. He doesn't look like the most natural athlete with the rec specs for Indiana State, but a team that, yes, did lose earlier this week, but was ranked in the top 25. Indiana State is a team that, based on the metrics and the production of Avila and others, I think can make some noise in the NCAA tournament. Robbie Avila right now averaging 17 points per game and 8 rebounds, both top 10 in the Missouri Valley, 100-1 on the school that Larry Bird made famous at Indiana State. And keep an eye on McNeese as well, 200-1. First year under Will Wade, the bag man himself, who was a great basketball coach, a quad one win for McNeese, which doesn't often happen at that level of college basketball here in the D1 men's college hoops level. McNeese, a quad one win to start off their season on the road at VCU, also a road win against Michigan. The resume is impressive. McNeese, one of those five teams alongside Purdue, or McNeese and Indiana State, rather, two of seven teams in the country that have won at least 22 games. Indiana State and McNeese, two mid-major teams to keep an eye on with some big plus money prices at this moment.
Number one seeds, Final Four odds, long shots here leads us right into who's actually going to cut the Nets down in March Madness. Top teams are Connecticut, Purdue, plus 650 in their price markets. Houston, 9-1. Arizona, 11-1. Any thoughts right now, Ben, on cutting the Nets down in Glendale?
Yeah, I think when you look at Connecticut and Purdue right now, Donnie, I'm not sure there's a ton of value. Their numbers are going to get shorter probably by the time we reach Selection Sunday, but you want to see what that path looks like at the top half of their bracket if they are both on the one line as we expect. I think some of those big plus money prices, 45-1 on Creighton, keep an eye on Wisconsin, 45-1, a veteran-laden team as well. That's where you can still find some value in those national title odds. It's a huge weekend in college basketball, but it's also All-Star weekend in the association. Indianapolis, we go next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis around the association. It starts today. It goes through Sunday. Marquee events each and every night in Indy, a great sports hosting city. What more could you ask for? He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. DRS, let's start with the All-Star Weekend schedule. Tonight, it's the Celebrity Game. That's always fun. The Rising Stars Challenge. Four different teams. We'll give you some picks on that one a little bit later on. They will play in a bracket-style tournament to decide the eventual Rising Stars champion. Saturday is Saturday night at the All-Star Game. We have the skills competition, the three-point contest, Steph versus Sabrina, Stephen Curry versus Sabrina Ionescu, both players shooting from the NBA three-point line in a head-to-head matchup. Sabrina Ionescu, of course, one of the stars for the New York Liberty in the WNBA. All capped off by the marquee event of the weekend, potentially, the dunk contest. Mac McClung is back, playing in the G League for the Orlando Magic organization. The Osceola Magic getting some pub on All-Star Weekend, and he is the odds on favorite. Again, odds for all this. We'll give you the looks a little bit later on, and it's capped off, of course, Donnie, on Sunday night by the 2024 All-Star Game. Which event is DRS most excited for?
Probably the skills competition overall on Saturday night. And by the way, just a preference, like the timeline here. When I was growing up as a kid, like let's just say mid to late 80s into the 90s, NBA All-Star Weekend was just about the best weekend of the year. Like, as kids, we loved it, man. The dunk competition was unbelievable. Larry Bird, like, splashing down three-point shots. We were always waiting for Jordan versus Dominique Wilkins and, you know, who was going to win this? Was it a rigged one in Chicago? This was must-watch. It's a shame that it's sort of going a little bit down, but I know, looking at the dunk competition, there's only so many dunks you can actually do. I do like the fact that Mac McClung is in the dunk competition, sort of fires it up there where, you know, this white guy's flying all over the place. And it's one of those things where when I was in high school, I would have died to be Mac McClung and absolutely have that type of hops here. So it is fun to watch that play out. But back in the day, it was must-watch TV. And maybe it gets back to that at this point. But again, we've seen just about everything we can see at this point now. So there's only hope that maybe it does get back to there.
Now, we know Donnie Wrightside was a star athlete, a star wide receiver at the collegiate football level. Has Donnie Wrightside ever touched rim?
Yes, of course. Yeah, easy. Put it this way. Back in college, you know, what, 19, 20, 21, I could stand under the rim and not take a jump and hang on the rim. So I did have some decent hops, but never was able to dunk a basketball because I couldn't palm the darn thing.
You're telling me. Standing, no run up, no lead up, no give until you need to go. Just standing, you could get rim and hold.
Yes, hang on to the rim. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about tons of squats and power cleans and rows, all that stuff, man. That adds up there. But yes, I could hang on the rim. Yes,
I have never been able to do that, but that is incredibly impressive. 8 foot rim, I could be in the dunk contest, of. 10 foot rim. No, not so much. Small hands, though. That had to hurt you in your wide receiver duties as well, no?
Didn't, though. Yeah, hey, look, by the way, shout out to the people that catch a lot with their body here. Don't ever let people say, Michael Irvin included, who's a Hall of Famer. Sometimes you got to catch the ball with your body. It makes some sense to do that. So there you go.
Okay. Listen, whatever gets the job done. All-Star Weekend, yes, used to be a thing. We used to carve out times in our schedule. And before phones, we had the camcorders out for All-Star Saturday night. It was a blast. We are returning to those formats that we know well. That is the key this year in 2024 in Indianapolis. It's not Team LeBron versus Team Giannis, although they are the All-Star captains. It is East versus West. Once again, and that is where we stand for Sunday night's All-Star game in Indianapolis with the West, a three-point favorite, the over-under 362 and a half. Can you potentially handicap an NBA All-Star game?
I don't know if you could potentially handicap an All-Star game, but when I do look at the rosters, I agree with the odds makers here at the FanDuel Sportsbook by placing the Western Conference as the favorite. I just think they're a better version overall. Now, would that have changed if Joel Embiid played? I mean, not necessarily, but certainly one of the better players in the NBA who resides in the Eastern Conference will not be playing. It certainly doesn't hurt the Western Conference standing at this point. But also, let me get back to the other point you brought up here. Thank God we're back to, you know, sanity here in the NBA. East versus West is always the most fun of the formats here. I never understood why we were picking sides here. It's just a natural evolution of gameplay to say, look, two conferences battling each other. We do it in every other sport. Picking sides up never made sense to me. I'm actually looking forward to the All-Star game because we're getting back to East versus West, which is what it always should have been, Ben.
Listen, when you look up and down the Western Conference roster, it is so much more stacked, at least in my opinion, than that of the Eastern Conference. And when you don't have Joel Embiid, the best player in basketball this season for the East, that's a huge hit as well. I agree. The West should be the favored side. Will it matter? That's a different story. But when you look at the All-Star starters right now, I'm not sure who's filling in for Joel Embiid. If somebody can find that information, we would appreciate it. Giannis is the captain. Who is? Do that again? One more time? Jalen Brunson will fill in for Joel Embiid. So Jalen Brunson will be in the starting lineup. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Tyrese Halliburton, Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum for the East. Out West, LeBron James, Luka Doncic, Kevin Durant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Nikola Jokic. Now, the Joker's not great in All-Star games. He doesn't really like playing in them, just something to know. But reserves like Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, the list goes on and on for the West, which leads us into the All-Star game MVP odds, where Giannis is the favorite at 6-1. LeBron James, second best price, plus 700. Steph at 8-1. And then Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum round out the top five with a 9-1 number. By the way, LeBron's the captain for the West. Giannis the captain for the Eastern Conference. They have been captains against each other in the former format over the past six seasons. LeBron 2-1 all time against Giannis. In fact, LeBron is 5-1 as an all-star captain. His only loss against Team Giannis a season ago. Where do you think there is value, Donnie, in those all-star game MVP odds?
You try to take a look at a guy that can do something special, and typically it's probably going to come from the winning team, right? So Steph Curry immediately catches my attention here as you take a look at him at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a plus 850 price, because the chances are you want to see somebody get hot. Sure, Giannis can win it. I get it. There's a lot of players in this game that can win it if they get hot, but it's one of those things where you say, okay, if I'm going to take a look at Steph and he gets in the ball game and knocks down his first 3 3-point shots right off the bat, they're going to just keep feeding him. And as we know, there's not a lot of defense here in the NBA, particularly in the All-Star game. And if anybody knows Steph Curry, have you ever watched him shoot around before an NBA game? You know, he's shooting from half court and barely misses here. So the chance for him to rack up 10, 15 possible makes from three-point range, that's the number I look at. So the Western Conference, I do think, wins the basketball game, and the ability for Steph Curry to knock down double-digit three-point shots will put him in that equation. That's where I'm going. Steph, I think, has a great option to win MVP again here in the All-Star game.
Jason Tatum won it last year, the Kobe Bryant All-Star Game MVP Award, after an All-Star Game record 55 points. I think Steph makes a ton of sense with how well he has been playing, leading Golden State into the All-Star break. I've got my money on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a 15-1 number, SGA, an All-Star starter who can absolutely light it up And I think SGA presents a little bit of value. Dunk contest odds up next. Mac McClung, the winner a season ago. He is the favorite this year at minus 190. Here are the four contestants for All-Star Saturday night. Mac McClung, Jaylen Brown, Jakob Toppin, younger brother of Obi, who Jakob plays for the New York Knicks, and Jaime Jaquez Jr., the outstanding rookie out of UCLA for the Miami Heat at plus 650. Now, if you see Jaime Jaquez now, you might not be thinking Elite Vert, a guy that is the most athletic freak on the basketball floor. But if you look up Jaime Jaquez during his high school days at Camarillo, he would put on shows in dunk contests and all-star games at the high school level around Southern California. Give me the long shot at plus 650.
Yeah, it makes some sense, but also you take a look at that favorite in Mac McClung at a minus 190 price here. I mean, that's probably where we're going to go at that point for me, at least, because you have one look. You have three NBA guys, right, that you're trying to say, hey, let me work on my game on a day-to-day basis. I'm not knocking Mac McClung here. Trust me, I'm really not. But the only reason for his existence, it feels like, in the G League is the NBA needs him to possibly be in the dunk competition. So I'm pretty sure half of the practice time is, all right, guys, we worked on our motion sets here on the offensive side. Matt, go down the other court, dunk for about 25 minutes, find a new dunk here. So when we send you up in the biggest moment on Saturday night in the All-Star festivities, you can be absolutely incredible. That's why I'm going here. One guy's only thing is the dunk competition. That's what he's worried about. It's got to be Mac McClung for me.
Listen, for the Osceola Magic right now, Mac McClung is averaging better than 24 points per game in the G League this year. Also has some flow now, according to his roster picture of 2023-24. Take that into your handicaps. Maybe a little bit more aerodynamic or less for Saturday night's dunk contest. Three-point contest. Last year, the winner, Damian Lillard, he attempted 13 threes last night in Memphis. He only made three. He is the favorite this time around as well to make it two straight at plus 390. Can Tyrese Halliburton have some home cooking in Indianapolis? Second best number at plus 450. Trae Young, who was a contestant last year, will compete once again this year. Third best number, plus 550.
By the way, I have a question with this, because immediately I start looking, go, okay, Lillard's the favorite. Halliburton's plus 450. Like, man, you're getting a great price then on Steph Curry. Like, why is Steph Curry not in this competition? And don't give me he's going to shoot a rack of basketballs around and be exhausted because he's going up against Sabrina Ionescu. If it, correct me if I'm wrong, but Steph probably shoots 1,000 three-point shots every single day in the gym. Why is Steph Curry not in this three-point competition?
I think he is focused on the competition against Sabrina Ionescu. That's what I think. I don't know if that's the right answer that you wanted to hear, but I think that is the reason he is only competing in that notable event during All-Star Saturday night. Good enough or no?
No, it's not good enough for me at this point. I wanted a full investigation from the NBA offices on why Steph Curry, the best three-point shooter in the business, is going up against you know, a female from the WNBA and not pressing his luck down. Because how's it looking? He wins that. By the way, what should take place is Ionescu and Steph should match up from the three-point line before the three-point competition goes, and the winner of that advances into it. Wouldn't you love – you see Sabrina going up against all the – come on now. Let's do it that way. Why do I have to answer all these questions from the NBA? Why?
Another listed job on your resume, NBA All-Star Game weekend commissioner. By the way, not listed on the odds board that we showed you. Jalen Brunson, plus 750 in the three-point contest. Lauri Markkanen for the Utah Jazz, the longest price at 8-1. Skills competition gets things underway on Saturday. Team top picks, team All-Stars, team Pacers. Top picks, Paolo Banchero, I believe Anthony Edwards and Victor Wembanyama, all number one overall draft picks in their days. Scottie Barnes, who I thought was injured from the All-Star game, but good enough to go for team All-Stars. Tyrese Maxey and Trae Young. And then the Pacers are Tyrese Halliburton, Benedict Mathurin, and Miles Turner. We'll have picks there. We'll have picks for the Rising Stars Challenge and that tournament that will get things going tonight later on in hour number three. How do you feel, Donnie, as an originator of the Pick Six, to be doing a Pick Six not for a Football Friday but All-Star Weekend?
Yeah, keep it rolling through. We got things to gamble on. We got to get the winners out to the people. Even though if the handicaps won't be sound coming up, hopefully they'll make some sense.
Donnie Wrightside will show you his prowess as a handicapper later on. We hear from the public about All-Star Weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ending out hour number two with an illustrious Fade the Public poll. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside, and the Sports Grid app is always there. Maybe some of you on the Sports Grid app right now and not in the Fade the Public poll. Scan that QR code on your screen. Available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. So, which day of NBA All-Star Weekend is everybody most excited for? Donnie said All-Star Saturday night. I can't wait for the return of the East versus West in the All-Star game. The public chirps, 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 nothing. We asked the people, though, what they're most excited for. It is Fade the Public. A lot of haters out there at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. Which day of NBA All-Star Weekend are you most excited for? Celebs plus rising stars, that's tonight. Skills competition on Saturday. Or Sunday night, the actual NBA All-Star game with the return of East versus West. 36 votes. As of only 36 votes in this Fade the Public poll. And both DRS and I hit the Riz Twiz on it. Man, the public not hyped at all for All-Star Weekend, but of those votes, most looking forward to All-Star Saturday night. Skills competition, three-point contest, Steph versus Sabrina, and of course the dunk contest as well.
By the way, also, you know, we sort of take these conversations to the next level sometimes. You take a look at, like, back in the day, there wasn't use for the All-Star game because, quite frankly, we didn't get to watch every single NBA game, every single NHL game, and it was fun to see all the stars in the building at the same time. Is there a need, Ben, moving forward, actually, for an All-Star game? Because you take a look at it. Most of our polls have a couple hundred votes right away. This one has not. Now, granted, maybe some people waking up late on a Friday trying to relax and get into their mojo for the weekend, but is this sort of an apathy towards, like, I don't even want to vote in this because I don't care about it? And if the All-Star game went away, would anybody care? Would anybody care?
I mean, that's the kind of sense that we're getting here, right? Has the All-Star game and All-Star weekend lost its luster? We dive into the debate when hour three starts in 55 seconds.